Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm jumping right in enthusiastically with another episode. I've run out of energy. I'm done.
It's jumping, Al Ronald, and here he is on the microphone. Everybody,
welcome to the most risky episode.
Welcome.
This one is the late night blue episode.
I can try.
We'll see. No, it's just a regular episode. Might get risky, might not. We don't know.
Who knows?
So, Si, how are you? What have you been up to?
I'm good. So, as you know, I've been...
I've gone back to the original format.
I've been exploring some internet things online. You know, I explored the knitting and the embroidery, and then I started doing cooking. So, I found this website, which is called www.
Can you do me?
Yeah.
Okay. You're choosing not to... to respond.
No, what did you say?
I said you were looking up boobs and vaginas. That was trying to make it risky.
I can honestly say that I wasn't.
Here's a tip for you, listeners. If you're bored, see if you type in boobs on the internet.
If you type in 80085 on a calculator and then turn it upside down, it reads boobs. Endless fun in the maths class in the 80s, folks.
What? Yeah, that was the best thing to do at school. That's probably why I'm not very good at maths. Boobs are the reason. What happens if you type boobs in digits into the internet? We broke ourselves
with boobs.
You get pictures of mathematicians holding up calculators.
Yeah, you get Roger Penrose, the famous mathematician, but he's got boobs. Somebody's photoshopped his head onto a naked lady. But anyway,
tell everyone what you've been up to. I'm going to do that.
I've been online at www.glowinggruyere.com.
Oh yeah. What did you find there?
And I found there's a celebrity chef called Ermintrude Buttermilk, and she suggested with one of her cooking challenges was that because we'd run out of food in the house with the lockdown, was that I sous vide myself alive in a vacuum sealed bag at 54 degrees C. So what I did was I rubbed myself down with some aromatics to bolster my flavour. Thyme and rosemary sprigs. If you want to listen to this recipe, guys. Now the best thing
we will include the recipe at the end.
Yeah, is to use ziti macaroni as a snorkel because you also have to.
I'm now holding up.
Alex now showing me boobs on a calculator. You're not going to put me off track here. Use the ziti macaroni as a pasta snorkel because you're going to need to breathe while you're in the vacuum sealed bag. But you have to account for the cooking time. The long tube pasta snorkel.
Look at them boob digits. 80085.
You have to bring it down.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Are
you talking about kicking yourself again?
You can nibble and slice bits off yourself. And Al, don't tell them. Edit this bit out. But then you say that sounds like a recipe for disaster. So just let me go back to the end bit.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Not yet. So I'm quite a big bloke because I've got quite a big surface area. So that was it, really.
That's an interesting story there, yeah. Right, shall we move on?
That sounds like a recipe for disaster. Yes, Al, yes. Yeah,
well, moving on with the podcast, I tend to agree. Magic and science and stuff. We're hitting the ground running. We're going really fast into this one. Patterns, you say. Are we looking at the fingerprints of God?
Just briefly, before I tell my vomit story.
Are we looking at the fingerprints of God?
Yeah, not yet. So we got into the... The ancient Chinese concept of Li, right? So the ancient philosopher Chu...
Yes, me.
Saw the patterns
in the ancient Chinese concept of Stanley. Believers. Pattern, you say. Excelsior. Sigh, please continue.
Stanley. right?
This is the fifth week of patterns, and I just keep stopping
Stanley,
you.
You're coming through from the other side, but you have seen dynamic formations, haven't you? A frozen moment of a process caught in a particular instant of time.
Like gamma radiation raining down on the fantastic...
Exactly that, Mr. Stanley. But let me tell you here, right, because now we're going to...
Tell you the story of the Incredible Hulk? He's a man and a monster.
That's right. But
the power of gamma.
But patterns, you know, this is interesting. But the Hulk himself, if you think about it, let's just go. I'm going off track here again. If objects extend across time as a four-dimensional series of three-dimensional time slices, that means that the Incredible Hulk does as well. Now, Kurt Vonnegut saw this concept in a book. So I've gone completely off track. It's got nothing to do with patterns. Listen to this. This is from Kurt Vonnegut.
Patterns, you say? Could we be looking at the fingerprints of God?
Yeah. In Kurt Vonnegut, he says, the Tralfamadorians don't see human beings as two-legged creatures. They see them as great millipedes.
Who does?
The Tralfamadorians. They live on Tralfamador. They're aliens. They have a different perception of time to us. They see human beings as millipedes with babies' legs at the back end and people's legs, old people's legs at the other end, because they see all
time.
Why
is he writing that down?
It's in a book he writes. It's a brilliant book.
Oh, okay. I read this book once. It was about a boy who flattened himself so he could post himself on holiday.
No, that's Flat Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did you know that Stan Lee's...
Flat Stanley.
He is Flat Stanley.
Oh, yeah. I've been flattened to believers.
When he was a boy,
I can post myself.
So not only is he an ancient Chinese philosopher, Flat Stanley.
Also
incredible flat. But incredibly flat. But anyway, so we're going to go. Perception
of time. I'm scared about my flatness.
Look at the anaphractious winding and turning forms that are in our own brains. Mathematical rules are genetically hardwired into our brains. But we can't see.
A fantastic creation of Flat Stan Lee.
We are stuck. Yeah, Flat Stan Lee's brain, if you sliced it into a time slice, would have anaphractous winding and turning forms within it.
I was run over by a steamroller, and now I have the proportional strength of flatness of a steamroller.
Now, Stan Lee, your name rhymes with...
Excelsior!
No, in Italian it rhymes with... Jesus, you're rhyming. Glad you weren't a poet. Your name rhymes
with... How dare you!
Not only were you an ancient Chinese philosopher, not only were you Flat Stan Lee, but I think you were also Fibonacci.
Excelsior!
Stan Lee, Fibonacci, is it too great a coincidence?
Are you suggesting that Stan Lee is Fibonacci?
I am. The Italian mathematician from the Middle Ages. Now, the Fibonacci...
What on earth is going on?
It's called a segue, Al. It's called a segue.
It really isn't called a segue. Patterns, you say.
So, the amazing...
How many is this week five?
The amazing mathematician Fibonacci numbers, the sequence, right? Which describe the arrangement of leaves on a stem, the fruit sprouts of a pineapple, the flowering of an artichoke, ferns, pine cone structures, right? There was a golden spiral. And do you know what? A spiral galaxy arms, like our own Milky Way, follow the golden spiral of the Fibonacci sequence. Now, that is amazing.
Could we be looking at the fingerprints of God?
Well, actually, yeah, the spiral.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Yes. It could be. Could it not be the fingerprint of God, the spiral galaxy? Interesting concept there.
That was the end.
But
excellent.
No, we're looking at golden ratios, right? Divine proportion. Is this God's geometric plan? Now, Fibonacci ratios appear in the number of spiral arms in daisies, in nautilus, chambered nautilus, and within the shape of the human eye. I mean, that's incredible. They're all done by this.
It's like a golden ratio shower.
It is a golden. Right. Oh, God. Right. Now, listen, right?
Have I thrown you?
I've lost track here.
Excelsior!
But interestingly, as the situation we're in, did you know, right, off track, that a virus harnesses the power of maths to create the geometric structure of its shell? Also, within the Fibonacci sequence.
I got an idea for a new superhero. It's a virus, and it harnesses the power of math.
Shut it, Fibonacci, Stan Lee, Flat Stan Lee, whoever you want.
Free, back what to about Brooklyn.
This will get you going, because Stan Lee, did you not come up with the Wasp? Ant-Man?
With the Wasp, and Ant-Man, and the Silver Surfer, and the X-Men, and Spider-Man, and the Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man, and Captain America. Do I need to go on? Excelsior, enough said.
The honeycomb conjecture. Okay, so listen to this, right, and make your own mind up. Bees are master builders. They perform structural calculations with architectural precision. Picture this now. We're there. Hidden beneath the mass hidden beneath the mass of seething bodies is a network of exquisitely engineered hexagons. Mathematicians, however, spent hundreds of years to prove that the hexagon is the most efficient shape. But bees already knew. How? There is the honeycomb conjecture. How did the bees know? How the hell did they know? That's incredible,
maybe,
right?
Maybe they should have just asked the bees first.
The scientists should have gone out in the bee suits.
Asked the bee, yeah.
And the bees would have been like, why are you doing that, Fibonacci?
You would have used those hexagons, mate. It's not going to last 5 minutes.
Fibonacci, come out here. Yes. This is Fibonacci. He's our mate. He's a bee.
He's building a conservatory for that flat Stan Lee.
Yeah, have you seen it's all done using the golden ratios, you see? That's what the Fibonacci bee does. He's amazing.
Honeycombs, isn't it? Honeycombs, that's the key.
Right there, bang, smack. Look at that. Us bees knew it.
Patterns, you say? Patterns, is this the fingerprint of God?
No, it's not. It's just us. We worked it out.
Bees, then.
It's the bees. The bees are behind it. I'd finished patterns for this week, but do you want me to go into next week's patterns?
Oh, let's just do next week's patterns next week, like we agreed.
Oh, okay.
Excelsior!
Next week is called The Snake in the Mathematical Grass. Look, I'm trying to say that with impact. Newton said,
I am just a child.
Stanley can repeat this afterwards. I am just a child collecting pebbles on the shore of the Sea of Truth.
Well, true believers, we're all just children collecting pebbles on the shore of true belief. Excelsior! Join us next week for The Snake in the Mathematical Grass.
Stan's not coming back next week. Stan, that's you're sense. Dead. Just piss off. 'll Ronald's dream speak dream. 'll Ronald's dream speak whenever he's dreaming the pelican stares. And there are hydraulic frogs in his mind.
Are you just going to keep adding to that over there?
I am. See, you like that. My dream speak then. You look confused. That staring pelican in your dream speak. Ask the audience at home. Audience?
Yes, he was talking about a staring pelican. I'm almost certain. See? Oh,
thank you, audience. Right. I'm going to jump straight into this one.
Oh, here we go.
Picture the scene. Let me take you back. I'm sound asleep, and I wake my girlfriend up by saying, I left the bed on. I think it might go on fire. Could you please turn the bed off? Now, if we had one of those plug-in heat mattresses.
Like an electric blanket or something.
Yeah, then that might make some sense, but.
Or a vibrato bed, if we're getting risque.
Risky. Ooh. How do you know about my vibrato bed?
Do you have a like a, you know, a lumpy vibrato bed?
Right, you have to put 20p in, and then it vibrates for 10 minutes. Yeah, it's good.
Nice.
It's shaped like a heart as well. Right, here's another one for you. The publication skipped a year. Look it up. You'll see that I'm telling the truth. My girlfriend said, what publication? And I said, I don't know. World War or News of the World or something.
I like how you always argue with her as if it makes sense. World War.
You know that publication, World War.
World War.
They've canceled it.
Is it World, World War as in W-H-O-R-L-E-D? World War. So it's like it's patterns. It's patterns, you say, isn't it? The world pattern of war.
No, world.
I know it's world.
Oh, I see. I see.
I just look. If you're gonna, if you're gonna sidetrack my science, I'm gonna sidetrack your dream speak and get patterns in everywhere.
That's fine. But no, News of the World is a real one, so I don't know why I was.
Yeah, it's a real one. Wasn't that owned by? We shall not speak his name.
I think Dern.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever used the phrase "the publication skipped a year" in my waking life ever for any reason. It just seems like a very grown-up thing to say.
It does, doesn't it? Well, did you know that the... Yes, I was in the library the other day, and I was going back through their film there, looking at some old newspapers. It was actually World War. The war pattern thing.
You'll never believe it. But the publication skipped a year.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Darling.
Yes, I looked through the microfilm for ages. There was
the News of the World. The publication skipped a year.
Oh, the News of the World, isn't that owned by...
So, here's a good one. Okay. I just said, what's that? That's a good start to any dream speak. And my girlfriend said...
I like how you're always testing Debbie with this.
Yeah. She said, I don't know, what is it? Like, she just wants me to say more. And I go, it's the FURPS. F-U-R-P-S. It's the FURPS. She goes... The what? And I go, you asked what it was. And I'm telling you, it's the FURPS. And she said, what's the FURPS? And I said, the FURPS is the FURPS.
Excellent. Very ambiguous. Very enigmatic. Everybody knows who the FURPS are. They come to you in your dreams. They're related to the Greebles. The Greebles and the FURPS.
What are the Greebles?
Yeah, the Greebles have their dunts and the FURPS have their... What are they?
Are the FURPS.
The FURPS are just the FURPS.
They're the FURPS.
They have their flu bridges, right?
No, they're just the FURPS. The FURPS are the FURPS.
Right. You only encounter them in your dreams. They only exist.
I don't know how better to explain this side. The FURPS are the FURPS.
Sorry, Al, I shouldn't have mentioned it.
If anyone wants to write in and ask what the FURPS are, I shall respond. The FURPS are the FURPS. If anyone wants to draw a FURP or a Greeble, please do. I'd like
the two together.
Yeah.
Mating.
And the twain shall never meet. The Greeble and the FURP made the...
It's in the Beeble.
The Feeble.
It's in the Beeble.
The Beeble.
It is, yeah.
And on the seventh day, God created the FURP.
The Greeble did unsheath his dump.
And the FURPs were the FURPs.
Came forth.
Right, that's the end of Dream Speak. Sing us out.
Dream, Al Ronald's dream speak whenever the Greeble unsheaths his dunce, the FURPS run for cover.
Where are the FURPS?
Got no idea.
The FURPS is the FURPS. So, Si, the...
Yes.
Wait a minute.
What's that on the horizon there with the giant gold sail? Oh, it seems to have turned into a hot air balloon these days.
Whip away. Hello, boy.
There, lads. How is it doing there?
We're all right. How are you guys? We're doing fine. Thank you, Mr. Ronald.
Oh, we're very, very well. Have a look at our shiny faces and see how shiny and healthy they are. We've been scrubbing them. Like crazy.
They are shiny. Si, look how shiny their faces are.
I can barely look at their faces. They're just so shiny. They're almost as shiny as the golden balloon attached to their galleon of time-traveling joy.
I see it as a hot air balloon.
Yeah, so do I as well, but it was initially a galleon.
It changes.
Oh, it changes shape, you fools. Of course it does.
It's trans-dimensional. Now, where would you boys like to whip away to today?
Well, I'm quite excited because I think it might be, Ali, you see I'm jumping up and down here. I think actually it's my turn to go this time. And this is a dream come true for me. When I was a little boy,
you're not going to do it finally, are you? We've talked about this.
I know. I used to read Lady Bird books and they were all about King Arthur's knights, Gawain the Green Knight and the Black Knight. And I used to love those little Lady Bird books. Guys, I want to go back to the 5th
King Arthur days.
Yes, that's right. I want to go back.
I was hoping that's what you'd say.
King Arthur Pendragon, King of the Britons. I've been wanting to do this since I was a small boy. I dreamt of it.
On one condition, Mr. Hentai.
Yes, yes, of course.
I want his autograph.
All right, I'll get him to sign my. I'll get him to sign my ass.
I can't keep that in me little autograph book.
It's okay.
Anyway, board, sort it out later. It's too much. I got time for that.
Well.
I can't be doing this voice all day.
Arr, come on, you'll be all right, man. Just have another pop on this. You'll be fine.
Bye. Stay safe. Say hi to Arthur.
Yeah, we'll do. Really excited about this. This is so exciting.
You know what to do, Mr. Head. Hey, hoist the sails and whip away.
Whip away.
Don't go too far, Colonel Blubberhouse. You nearly overshot the past.
Down there, that's the 5th century. That's Camelot down there, isn't it?
It looks like it to me.
See that type of red satin there?
It's hard to recognise. Do you know why?
Oi.
Because we don't come a lot to Camelot. We don't come here a lot. No, wait, we don't. Right, off you go, Mr. Heading.
Oh, well, here I am. God, this is absolutely beautiful. In the background, I can see the castle of the Court of Camelot rising up, glistening in the sunshine. And I'm just here under this. There's this red satin tent. An apple. Hang on. Hung from this apple tree here is a huge hunting horn. I reckon if I blow this, I might be able to summon King Arthur and Scar. I'm a little bit nervous. Oh, sweet apple tree growing by the river. Who will thrive on your wondrous fruits? Let me blow on the horn.
Oh, hey, what's a carry here? Who bloweth my horn, way hey?
Oh God, are you King Arthur?
Can you not see me, golden helmet engraved with dragon?
Oh yeah, I can. You're the legendary Arthur Pendragon, aren't you?
Oh. That's right. Ask me how you doing. Do you want to come down tune with me?
Do I want to do what?
Do you want to come down the tune? I'm just going down
the tune. Town.
I can see you're not very learned in courtly matters. Do you not bow before your king?
I'm bowing down now.
Bow. Go on, bow down.
I'm bowing.
Oh, look at that. I see you got your tonsures occurring nice. You big baldy bastard. Hey! Right.
Oh, you've got a bald spot. Yeah, it's like a halo or a crown of thorns.
very good. Now, do you want to come with me? I'm traversing town and that, like, springeth and flourisheth in lusty deeds.
Yes, me too. I'm in quest of adventure, oh king. Yes,
that's great, that's yes. Canny, that's canny. Right. Right, hearken unto me, for I am in need of a champion.
Oh, well, I could probably be your champion, I think
well,
so.
Well, we'll see, young lad, we'll see. It's not easy to be a champion of King Arthur, you know. I'm a pretty tough, I grind a hard iron.
Well, listen. Have you got any armor? I don't need to grind my iron, do I? Because I don't really.
Oh no! Right, I got a little bit of iron here. First of all, what I'm going to do. It's quite hard to get iron on. To get armor. Sorry, I've had a few. I'm not. Yeah, I'm a bit half cut. I'm a little tight.
I know.
I'm going to smear you with goose fat. Put on this goose fat.
What?
Yeah, get that all over you. Wait, take this amulet.
Okay, what? This is just a radish, isn't it? On a string.
Oh, yes, but it's a power radish. You've never seen the likes of it. Here, take these shin pads. I made them out of a marrow.
Okay, these are like hollowed out marrows, aren't
That's
they?
Right, and I'm going to wrap you up in this chainmail with this bejeweled girdle, and then this thick, well-stuffed doublet and a breastplate, baked from gingerbread, and finally, my chameleon bonnet. Look at you. You're a right picture of a knight now.
It's I can't really move in this. It's just really kind of heavy.
I don't mind. Like, you got to get used to that if you're going to be in my round table. Like, we're all what we... We're stick thin inside this armour. We're sweating so much. We're getting so much exercise. We're wasting away.
Well, I'm not going to really be able to do much stuff like moving around and different things and fighting people in this. But,
well, you're still going to have to perform the Luddus dance.
The what?
Like a dancing bear, you'll have to be springing over ditches. But first, you must pull the sacred butter knife from the scone of destiny or forever be drowned in compote.
What this butter knife here? What in this giant scone?
Yes, pop it in now.
A scone. Okay, yeah. That's like done. Scone. Oh yeah, I see. Okay, right. Let me steady myself. I'll see if I can pull the butter knife
from the scone
of destiny. Will this make me king? Oh, I shall be valiant, loyal. And courteous, and I shall enforce my lord's behest. Let me pull the.
You can't do it, can you?
No, I can. I can pull it. I tell you so.
You may as well. I've deliberately made a fool of you.
Well, this is stale. This scum.
That's part of being a knight for me. Sorry, I'm gonna. Excuse me a moment. I'm gonna be sick behind this tree. Right, so anyway, what I was saying is, if you want to be at round table, you gotta do all, like, proper knight stuff. Like, see that dragon over there?
Oh, my God!
Go and slay that dragon in the name of me, King Arthur.
Okay, I will.
I bid you
fetch my horse.
Here's a little knight joke. I'll take a couple of tiddies with you for the journey. Tiddies like your armour, you get it?
Oh,
I'm off again.
King Arthur, I think you've been drinking a fair bit, haven't you? But that dragon is getting a lot closer. Can't you use Excalibur? Don't you have your sword?
I've got something that I call Excalibur.
Right.
And I do keep it below my waist.
Right.
And it does have a sheath.
Right, could you get it out and see if you can scare the old...
Give me 2 minutes, right, and I'll go and I'll unsheath it, and then I'm sure I'll fend off dragon with it, don't bother.
Away, oh dragon, in the
Hang
name
on,
of...
Hang on, just a minute, let me unsheath.
St. George, I challenge you.
I can't unsheath right now.
I will unhorse you. Oh no, you don't ride a horse, do you? You're a dragon. Oh dear.
Let me stop you with that. I'm gonna tell you the truth now. I'm not King Arthur. I'm just Arthur.
You're not King. You're not.
I'm
King.
Just Arthur.
But
I'm just a drunk man called Arthur. King Arthur, right? He don't exist.
Of course he does. King, from the legends.
He's exactly that myth. I'm working on making it. What I do is I run about, and when I see people, I tell them the story, like with the scone and the dragons and that. And
right,
I hope
this is just a big stale scone, isn't it? That's not even a dragon, is it?
No, that's
it's just a
man
on a. What?
Just a man in a bush. He's making dragon noises.
Set fire to the bush. What an idiot. So he's just using lighter fuel and blowing out cider.
Tom, he's on to us. You can come out now. You all right? He's off back to his mum.
Oh, this is...
Yeah.
This is really
I'm sorry to disappoint you, though. I'll tell you what is real, though. That lady in the lake, she's real. Look, there she is.
Oh, would she be...
Who was waving that bloody sword around? I don't know why.
Nime, the Lady of the Lake. Viviane. Oh, Viviane, Lady of the Lake.
Yes.
Will you give us my sword? They say it like that. Sword.
Give you it for 20 bob.
20 bob?
Yeah.
But don't just give it to me because of my divine right. Because I.
Oh, here you go then, love.
Oh, God, that's hit me right on the...
Give you a sword. Hey, and look, I'll tell you something else. Have a look down there. I've managed to unsheathe.
Oh, my God. Western McCall, a blubber house.
Oh, come on up, Mr. Henry.
He's chasing you with that unsheathed sword of his.
Oh, that don't look like no sword to me. Get up here, Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry.
Yes.
Every single time that I leave you to go back to the past, you end up with some kind of bodily part or fluid around you.
I could have ended up with a venereal disease with that.
It wouldn't surprise me. That's one of the...
I can see the carpets on his nadger.
I don't know if we're going to get you home with that heavy sword you picked up. Did you get me his autograph?
I did, and it wasn't him. He doesn't exist, apparently. Guy, Bartho, who's with his friend in a bush, setting fire to a bush.
I knew it. Right, let's whip you back to the future.
Yeah, please
hoist
do.
The sails, whip away, whip let away.
Let me try and get this armour off, because it's so heavy. I don't want to get out of the...
Right. That's us back at the...
It's
we're back
too heavy.
In 2020, Mr. Henty. Off you go, boy.
Oh, God.
You're right, Sly. Ooh, that
looks like... Look at this mess.
Oh, hang on. You've come unsheathed. There we go. Let's fix that.
You
okay?
I'm strapped into gingerbread armor. I've got marrow shin pads on. I've got this radish hanging around my neck. And there's this guy chasing after me with his... Oh, I don't even want to say. Just carbuncles on.
I don't
on.
Think you should.
It's awful. Then there was this lady at the lake, and she did chuck me this big sword. This sword though is pretty nice.
Wait a minute. That explains everything. That explains why at school I had to learn about King Henty.
You mean?
No,
I am.
I'm only kidding. It's just.
I think it's made out of plastic. This sword.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, yes, it's Paranormal. Here he comes. He's all naked and smeared in glitter. Paranormal.
He paints quite an image. This really is the risque episode.
Yeah, you better pop your clothes back on for this.
No. Okay, it's quite warm in here.
Just stay with the glitter.
Yeah, it's quite warm. No one can see it, but there is a dance that goes with that tune that I wish people
could
see.
Guys, if you could see Al dancing, he's actually got nipple tassels on this
time. No, you were dancing. I was just doing, like, weird, spooky stuff. Anyway,
okay.
Let's get to the spooky bit. I'm going to hit the spooky music now.
Here we go. I do love that. When I hear that music, it just sends a little shiver up my spine.
Does it? This is from 1964. The Ghost in the White Suit.
Oh, I like the title.
A man called Jim Templeton, who was a fire officer in the northern English city of Carlisle, went out with his family on a lovely day to the marshes near Solway Firth.
Fucking cheapskate.
His family were absolutely thrilled.
He's like, oh, I'm going to take you out for the day. You know where we're going. It's a bit of a surprise. The kids are like, Legoland. He's like, no, that hasn't been built yet, you idiots. We're going to the marshes.
He decided to take some photographs of his daughter, Elizabeth, holding a bunch of flowers. However, when he got the photographs developed and was told, well, I'm sorry, sir, but one of these has been spoiled by a man standing in the background. Which, I don't know why he would be told, I'm sorry, this photo is no good, there's a man in it. But apparently he was. So, but there was no one there. He was only there with his family.
I just had a thought. My dad was a copper.
Yeah.
Well, he had to arrest a guy who was called the Bog Runner, who used to run through bogs naked.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. So I hope that.
I'm just wondering if it's him in the background.
Examination of the print shows something quite extraordinary. A semi-transparent figure can be seen standing behind Elizabeth. Yet the figure was at a sort of slanted angle, so people thought it looked like he was floating off the ground slightly. However, this is unlike any normal phantom photograph. Any normal phantom photograph.
Yeah, because you get the normal ones back from
Because
booths.
The ghost appeared to be wearing a spacesuit.
Wow. So this is amazing. Well, actually...
There's more to this. But...
I think the bog runner was naked. But actually, now I've got an idea. Maybe he wore a wetsuit.
Well,
and a mask, so it could, and a snorkel.
The white suit and visor looked, when they studied it, they thought it looked more like a radiation suit than a spacesuit. Which,
hang on, time slips.
However, firemen wear sort of a silver uniform when they deal with chemical hazards and things like that.
Indeed,
and what was Jim's job?
He was a chemist.
I told you at the beginning, he was a fireman.
Oh, yeah. So it was it was him in the future. It was a future version of himself reflected back in him in some kind of mirror dimension.
Maybe. Well, he spoke to the family and nobody had seen anyone around on the marshes. However, they said that they did notice while they were out that the air was charged as if an electrical storm was brewing and that the sheep were behaving oddly. I've seen sheep. I'm not sure how you know when they behave oddly.
Oh, you do. They bar in an odd way.
Let's go. So anyway, they took this to the police, and the police suggested that it was a streaker. Was this your dad?
Yeah, isn't that weird? Yeah, because there was a bog streaker. And that would have probably been around the same time, weirdly enough.
Mr. Templeton argued with the police and said, I'm pretty sure if it was a streaker, I would have noticed. Which is fair.
It depends how fast he was moving. The bog runner was pretty fast.
Yeah, that's true. So the other thing, it could have been a double exposure, possibly.
It was a double exposure if it was the penis.
Oh, very good, very good. But it could have double exposed with one of the other negatives in his reel, which might explain why it looked like someone wearing a fire suit.
Because there was a photo of him in his fireman's uniform on another roll.
However, again, they examined the film and concluded that there was no overlap of the figure in the girl's hair, where the double exposure would have continued if that's how it happened.
Yeah, true.
Seemed to be semi-transparent, but real person partially blocked out by the girl's head. So other theories have included a Japanese researcher's idea of a holograph projected by chance through electrical fields, perhaps from the nuclear power plant across the marsh. So there's a whole other level of Marvel Comics going on there. The nuclear power plant?
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah, nuclear, like, radiation does do strange things, I suppose.
If it was true, it would have had to have been projected through time as well as space, because the plant authorities stated that they had no men working in protective suits on that day. Alternatively, a UFO expert has suggested a partly formed alien entity emerging from an invisible spacecraft.
Yeah, you see, to me, that's what I'd go with, definitely. Because as we worked out before during science, the UFO would coat itself in UV paint, so only chickens would see it. So,
there is something there.
Yeah. So the alien has come out of this invisible spacecraft, but he's not on, you know, his light wavelength is different.
It's possible that Jim Templeton had accidentally taken a chicken instead of a camera.
So the chicken took the photograph,
and the roll of film was actually an egg.
Yeah, so it processed the film in its stomach, and then the photograph came out within the egg.
The theory. It's as good as an invisible spaceship, to be fair. So apparently, though, a few days later, Mr. Templeton got a visit from two men in a dark car.
a dark car.
Where's the dark car?
And they asked him some questions about the local bird life.
Chickens. Is and really
they, this? They became annoyed when he refused to accept that he had not filmed an ordinary man and drove off, leaving him to hike the 5 miles home. What?
I thought it was outside his house.
That's what I imagined. It didn't say anything about where
so
he was.
So they must have bundled him into the car and driven him 5 miles down the road, right?
But the MOD refused. Yeah, I guess that's what's missing. Oh, no, they quizzed him at the site.
Oh,
why did he go back?
Why did they take him back there? That's like Men in Black or something, isn't it? Like, they've taken
The MOD denied that they had anything to do with that. The only options left, it says here, the only mundane options left were a freak picture, as the police eventually decided it was. It was just a freak picture. Yeah. But what you got there, mate?
Like we got there, you see, is a freak picture. Yeah.
Did you take it with a chicken? Yeah, well,
yeah, that's what happens. You see,
it would have been used in a camera.
See, when we're photographing crime scenes, we use this police chicken, which is slightly different.
He's called PC Cluck, we call him. Still his real name. We're always trying to get him laid.
No, you're not right. We're going to take a photo of you with the police chicken. Here we go. See how he pops an egg out. Now, if I break this egg, look in there. See, there's a funny man stood behind you in a space suit. That's it.
Ave voila.
That's what happens.
Now, I tell you what, this is good. It says people thought it might have been the developing that had ruined the picture, something that Kodak said was very improbable unless a chicken had been used. No, they did say that.
Kodak was the New York detective, right, with the bald head who used to suck the lollipops.
Yeah.
Because he develops all the film.
So, but the Kodak company offered a reward of free film for life to any photography expert who could solve the mystery. And all this time later, the reward has still not been claimed.
Who loves you, baby?
So I think, Si, we need to send an email to Kodak and say, have you considered that Mr. Templeton used a chicken in place of a camera?
Yeah, listen here, I've been investigating crimes all my life, and I've been developing
Kodak.
Yeah, I've been developing films from chickens. They sent them to me from all over the world, and I've never made a mistake, ever.
Get out of my office, electric
head.
Get
out of my damn office.
Damn
Let
it.
Me suck on my
you know
lollipop.
What, though, one day, I think these paranormals, one day, they're going to make us rich. That's what I think. We're going to solve a mystery and we're going to prove something.
Yeah, that would be good.
Do you want to sing us out?
Paranormal, oh yes, it's paranormal when you take photographs with chickens and send them to Kodak. He sometimes develops them incorrectly, but he won't admit that.
Making a new headache note every day. It's endless.
A new headache note every day.
Every day.
There's the catchphrase right there.
Yeah, we should make some jingles, I think. Anyway, headache notes for this week. What have you got a theme in mind?
I think you have. Don't try and trick me with this one.
Well, I have
pre-discussed this, ladies and gentlemen.
Is things that people have said like wrong to you, so they've got their words muddled and said something terrible, or that you've misheard. Si has, he's gonna go first. Go.
Why do you don't put me in this situation?
Si has
they're
a
not,
great,
I think they're too this rude. Is, but we can edit them out. So a friend of mine, I'm going to mention his name, actually. This a friend of mine, because it's actually I used to perform some comedy with when we were young and frisky men. We once went out to a pub.
Was he better than me?
What, in the vibrato bed?
No, yeah, that's the worst.
No, so when you're in your early 20s and you're frisky young men, and anyway, there was a girlfriend and a friend of ours. sounds bad already. Anyway, we were going out to a pub lunch to meet some sensible grown-ups, which included, yeah, it was her father, I believe, and her father's new partner, who was a fair bit younger than her father. And quite attractive to us as reasonably young and feisty young men. Obviously, we didn't admit that at the time. Anyway, so we sat down and we started. We'd had a couple of drinks beforehand. I think we got to the pub early. We went in for this very sensible grown-up pub lunch and introductions. Oh, you know, oh, hello, you must be Cy, and you must be blah, blah. So,
do you know the publication skipped a year?
Skipped a year. I was down. It's all very sensible. So we're having a pub lunch. We didn't normally go in for pub lunches. I normally just went in for a liquid lunch if I could scrape together. Anyway, they were buying the drinks. It was all very, you know, very fine and everything like that. But we did. I could see that me and my friend were exchanging some glances about the lady who her father had now got together with, who was very attractive. So we kept exchanging a few glances, and there were a few kind of, oh, you know, she's all right, you know. Anyway, everyone had a few drinks. And
to regret asking you to go first now, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, you can edit out. Anyway, but she was quite, anyway, so she got quite effusive and flirty, but in a really nice way. It was all very nice. It was all jolly, you know, and lovely. But then she turned around to my friend and she said, and it all then got a little bit saucy. So she then, this is Essex, by the way. So she then turned around to my friend and she said to him, oh, well, I hope you don't mind. That was a little bit cheeky of me or whatever. And he said, oh, no, I'm very open-minded. which then ended in deathly silence because everyone realized that it was just the worst thing, the worst, you know, fluff you could ever make over word at that point in time. I'm very open-minded.
Have you heard the publication skip? Yeah.
Oh, I'm very open. Moving on, confounded.
So, here's one. This took place in a doctor's office, so it already sounds like a bit like a Carry-On sketch. So, I went to the doctor's office, and I can't remember exactly what I was there for, but I think I had like something with my scalp, like a dry scalp or something like that. So I wanted to get it checked, and he gave me a special shampoo to use. And he said to me as we're leaving, he goes, yeah, just use this shampoo when you have a shower. It should clear up, you know, you should be fine. Nothing to worry about. Just make sure that when you use the shampoo, you keep your eyes shitely tut. And I sort of, you know, when you're not sure.
Yeah.
And there was, he said it, and then he went back to his, like, writing the prescription. And I just, like, I couldn't not say anything. I was like, excuse me, what did you say? And he said, just keep your eyes tightly shut. I was like, that is not what you said. That's, and then because he knew he'd been caught, he had to admit it, and we both just started pissing ourselves laughing.
That's really nice. That's really
for
funny.
For about 2 minutes, you know, when it hurts to laugh, yeah. And he's just got tears. And as we're leaving, I was like, yep, and I'll make sure and keep my eyes shitely tut. And he went, yeah, tut shite. He didn't mean to do it that time.
Oh, like, so in the end, like, down again.
I just started laughing again, and I just left. But I could hear him after I left the surgery when I was signing out. I could still hear him giggling. But then it's like, imagine that had happened in a situation that was far more serious, yeah, than a slightly itchy scalp. That could be pretty bad.
At least
bad.
You didn't say your anus shitely tut.
Your anus is shite.
You need to keep your anus shitely tut, because if the shampoos gets into it, it'll sting like a fuck.
That does remind me, actually, of this. It was the same doctor, a different time, when I went along. Sorry, when I say this reminds me, I probably should just say that it wasn't the anus part that reminded me of the story. But he said, so we're in the thing, and I can't remember what I was in for, but he wanted a sample. So he just said, he handed me a little peapot. Well, or what I assumed was a peapot, and but he did it kind of casually, you know, like they do it 100 times a day. So he's writing his notes, and I come in and he says, what is it? And I explain what I'm in for, and he goes, okay, just fill that up for me. Like, really casually hands me this thing, and he has a little ensuite in the doctor's office. So I go in the ensuite, shut the door, and I've got this pot, but it doesn't say anything on it. And I suddenly thought, does he want me to fill it with piss? Like,
what sample does he want? Does he want poo? Does he want piss? Phlegm? Does he want
something else?
Semen?
Or does he just want water from the tap? I don't know. Maybe he just wants some nice fresh water.
I've been a bit more specific. Or does he want everything mixed up?
This is the thing. I shut the door and I'm just staring at it. And I expected it to have, you know, urine sample or something written on it, and it just had nothing on it. So I was just like, what do I do? So I ended up pissing in it, but came out the bathroom, and then as I put it on his desk, and I just sat there, and he's still on the phone or finishing up writing, and I just thought, oh my god, I really hope he wanted me to piss in that, because I was just waiting for him to look up, be like, what the fuck is this?
You know what? I suddenly had a vision of him. Like, so he's on the phone. You come out. You put the sample down in front of him, right? And he just reaches out, unscrews the cap, and shrinks it, and downs it in one, and then puts it back. He's like, "Thank you. That's enough for today."
Tightly shits his eyes. No way. I got it wrong again. That was another risky.
Oh, risky!
That was a cheeky one.
Sir, you're very risky.
Wait, that cheeky again. I don't know if I did have.
With so, a risky podcast.
If everyone wants to go and have a nice cold shower, just calm down for the sauciness of that podcast, then I think absolutely you should.
Everyone at home's like, Jesus, I've listened to some saucy podcasts in my time, and this isn't one of them.
Oh, it is though, isn't it? This is as saucy as it gets. We'll be banned from Spotify after this one.
Oh.
Just you wait and see.
Well, we'll be back with more sauciness.
We'll be back with more sexy electric hair action next week. Bye.
Goodbye.